Can you all hear me? I may wander around, so I've got a lapel mic as well. So we'll hope to get things done. Sorry, I'm not on yet. If something goes wrong with the AV, it's usually going to be a human who is at the bottom of it. Bit higher. Okay, thank you. Is that any better? Okay. Well, let me know if you can't hear. I'm going to make a note for Liz's sake and for all of yours of the time I'm starting. I've given myself a 10-minute target today. And those of you who know me will know that I've probably never achieved that in my life. So this is a tall order, but we're going to try and do it. So as will be very apparent, we're talking about giving, but I think through our services in the last few weeks, and I think the Holy Spirit is weaving a pattern for us. 2 weeks ago we had, if you remember, rain in the desert and the theme of living water, streams of living water coming from God through us out into a thirsty world. Last week we were celebrating harvest, so all those manifestations of God's goodness and generosity, and the question for each of us was, how is your soil? How are you receiving the good seed that God plants in your life and in this world? Are you growing it? Are you nurturing it? Are you producing fruit? And Jill quoted a Christmas hymn for us in that service. Do you remember? What can I give him, poor as I am? And do you remember what the answer is in that beautiful Christina Rossetti poem? Give him my heart. So we're back, continuing the theme of giving our hearts. And today we're thinking more about our own heart response to God's generous goodness. And I hope we'll be doing more than thinking. I hope we will be being led by God's Spirit to some actions as a result of today. So before we dive in, I just want first to suggest to you what I hope this talk is not. It is not me telling you what to do. It is not about the budget or the parish share, primarily. It is about your relationship with the God who loves you, your desire to follow him fully, as well as you can, and your sense today of what he's calling you to do. So yes, as James has already pointed out, there is responsibility. We call it Trio Sunday for a reason. But giving is not just a discipline or a duty. It is primarily an act of love. And it is, as we had in our reading, it is a grace. It is something that God gives us, like all graces. So I'm not here to open your wallet, but to hope that through what we do this morning, God opens your heart. And if there is to be any tugging at your heartstrings, then I hope and pray it will be the Holy Spirit who does the tugging. So where is your heart? So this comes from that telling sermon of Jesus, the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus had a lot to say about money, and he was very straight, he was very tough, he was extremely uncompromising in what he said. And when every time I read what Jesus says about money, it challenges me still. I can't get away from it because, you see, I am rich. I am rich living in a rich country. I'm not saying that we're all rich, but I am. And I confess that I struggle to obey Jesus in this point. I struggle to follow him fully. I am conflicted. Just before this verse on the screen, Jesus says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust corrupt, thieves break in and steal." Well, with the internet, we all know about the thieves, don't we? "But I have a big house. I have savings. I have investments. I even have a pension, if that isn't pension." So, as we think about this, we have to be real with ourselves, but also realistic. In Jesus' day, there were no pensions. There were no savings plans in the way that we have today. So, in a sense, the world has moved on, but the question for all of us is still the same. Where is your treasure? Is your primary treasure chest in heaven, or is it on earth? And that will determine where your heart is. Now, I don't know. I know where mine is. I know that I am rich, but I know that my treasure is in heaven. That's what matters to me. If I became poor tomorrow, I would still have treasure in heaven. And I would feel different, but I would not feel impoverished. Only you can answer for yourself. You know, God knows. I don't know. But I'm suggesting that that's where we need to start when we think about this whole business. So let's move on. I've got a lot of ground to cover, and we're going to be skating over it, I'm afraid. And already I'm more than halfway through my time. So you'll see the challenge. So I'm going to suggest that all these verses that come up on the screen are worth you looking at for yourself. We're going to do a quick Bible overview under three headings: the generosity of God, secondly, what did Jesus say, and thirdly, my money and my heart. So please take seriously the suggestion that you might read these later. Tamsin or myself can send you the slides if you want to, and ask for copies. We can provide hard copies during the week. So let's start with the generosity of God. So there's this wonderful, wonderful chapter in the Old Testament, 1 Chronicles chapter 29, which contains a lot of really good stuff. But the essence of all that we're saying about the generosity of God is that good giving mirrors and reflects the good giver. That's why it's a grace. It's given to us by a good God who gives us loads in order that we may share his goodness by sharing with others. So what I have is not my stuff, it's God's. And so that passage contains memorable phrases. We can't linger long. Everything in heaven and on earth is yours. All things come from you. Wealth and honor come from you. And that lovely phrase, "of your own have we given you." All this abundance that we have provided, that's the people bringing gifts to the temple, comes from your God's hand, and it belongs to you. So that's where we're starting from. We're not giving in a sense, we're giving back. We're bringing back to God what he has given to us. We talked about God's giving heart. John 3:16, you know it so well. God so loved that he gave. He gave the most precious the most special person that he could give. He gave himself, he gave his son. And Romans 8, he who did not spare his only son, but gave him up for us all, will he not with him graciously give us all things? We move on quickly. So what did Jesus say? Well, as I said, he said an awful lot, and it's quite challenging. The overall picture, I think, from Jesus is what does good giving look like as far as Jesus is concerned? And it's interesting, isn't it, that whereas the tithe had been the norm in the Old Testament, that tenth of everything that was given to support the temple and the priests, Jesus doesn't mention the tithe except in a rather condemnatory way, referring to the Pharisees, detailing, you know, the herbs to be tithed, but not thinking about the big issues of righteousness and justice and truth. So apart from that, tithe does not appear in the New Testament. And I think the reason is that with the coming of Jesus, the tithe is superseded. It perhaps gives us a starting point, but no more. It's certainly, in my view, not a finishing point. So when Jesus talks about giving, and where is your treasure, and you can't serve God and money, he's taking the tithe for granted. And he's saying, what are you going to do beyond that? If it's all God, how should you be giving? If it's all God's in the first place. So this lovely, very short reading that Caroline brought to us, the story about this widow's mite in the temple, what does it tell us about what Jesus valued about giving? He valued those two copper coins. Imagine a penny piece or less. Putting that in the offertory. And if we take that up to the front, we might be a bit sniffy about it, mightn't we? Oh, someone's only put 2 pence in. But Jesus knew, and he knew that she'd given more than any of the rich people. So good giving in Jesus' book is costly, it's sacrificial, it comes from the heart, it is generous. And Jesus makes it very clear that because God is a giving God, when we follow him in giving, he gives us more. How's my time? I'm over. Hopeless. I just can't do it, Liz. Apologies, James. I'm going to just crack on a little bit longer, if I may. So these are the other things for you to look at later. The widow's mite, the rich ruler who went away so sad because he had great wealth. Are you going to turn away from Jesus, blocked by your great wealth? The rich fool, you fool, God says to him, tonight your soul is required of you. Where then will those things be that you value so much? And this lovely direct quote from Jesus, which doesn't appear in the Gospels and appears in Acts, it's more, Paul says directly, Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. So we move on. My money and my heart. Well, I recommend this passage in 1 Corinthians and that you read the 2 Corinthians reading again when you get home, chapters 8, chapter 9 as well. And what we really love determines where our heart is. So we have powerful messages coming in the world's propaganda, don't we, that more is better and that more stuff makes you happier. And I get that. I feel it myself. But Jesus says, you fool. And the prophet Malachi challenges us very, very strongly not to rob God by withholding from him things that are due to him. how have we robbed you? The question is in Malachi. And the answer is by not bringing the whole tithe. Test me and see if I will not pour out so much blessing that you cannot contain it. We move on. No, we've done. We've done with my slides, but I just want to give you a very quick personal testimony at the end. Back to your heart and mine. There is, for many of us, a tug of love going on in our hearts. We are divided and torn between stuff and God. And I am as well. I'm a work in progress here. I would recommend that we start early. I still have the first deed of covenant I made out to the CAF in 1970. I had just qualified as a doctor, and I decided that God had to have first dibs on my salary. It was for the princely sum of £40 a year. Now, in God's faithfulness, we're up to five figures a year, but that isn't the point. The Chancellor helps. Did you know you can do give as you earn on an NHS pension? I didn't until I made some inquiries. So a few tips and then I'm going to stop. Start early, as soon as you can. If you wait till you think you've got enough to spare, you may never start. Be regular, be planned. Try to put giving first, not last. Review it regularly. And please do try the glorious experiment of trying to outgive God. Just see where it gets you. It's a wonderful thing to do. He is faithful, and believe me, you won't do it. You will never outgive God. Thank you. And apologies.